Before I begin my homily, I just want to make sure that everyone is aware. We have Father Brian Milady of EWTN fame coming this week to be with us, Wednesday, September 6th, and Thursday, September 7th. It'll be at Old St. Mary's. There'll be Mass at 5:30 p.m., and then the talks start at 6:15 p.m. Some of you have watched him on EWTN, so he has a program, a radio program on Thursdays on EWTN still. He's a fabulous preacher and evangelist. He's going to talk about who is Jesus Christ and does the creed really matter? So please put that on your calendar. There'll be a nursery in Smith Hall during the talk. Today in our gospel, we have a theme that is very prominent in the teaching of our Lord, but also very difficult. It's the relationship between discipleship, following Jesus, and the mystery of suffering, the mystery of the cross. First, a little bit of context. When it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must suffer," Jesus said that after Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi. So this happens immediately after Jesus asked his disciples who he is. And then Peter responds by saying, "You're the Son of God." So Jesus has just renamed Simon as Peter, the rock, upon which he will build the church. Now, no sooner does that happen than Jesus begins to reveal the mystery of the cross to them. And as usual, Peter, impetuous Peter, jumps the gun and takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. Now think about that just for a second. Think about the audacity of Peter, one of his students, one of the disciples, taking the master aside and saying, "Look, let me tell you just how it's going to be." That's what rebuke him means. He is rebuking Jesus' declaration of the passion. And so something amazing happens here. When Peter says, "This is never going to happen to you," Jesus turns around and says, "Get behind me, Satan." So what's going on in that verse? What is Jesus doing? He's actually giving Peter another name. He's just renamed Simon as Peter, or Kepha, the rock, the foundation of the church. Now he turns around and he calls him Satan, who is the adversary of God's people. And he just doesn't rename him. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me." The Greek word here for obstacle is skandalon. We get the English word scandal from that. So he's saying, "You are a scandal to me." Now, what is interesting about that in the original Greek is the word skandalon literally means a stumbling stone. A skandalon would be a stone in the path that you trip over when you're walking. So what Jesus is doing here, in a sense, is to make a pun off the name that he just gave Peter. So when Peter was confessing faith in Jesus' divine sonship, he was Kepha, the rock. But now he is opposing the passion and death and resurrection of Jesus. He's become a scandalon, a stumbling stone. So he's still a rock, but a much different kind of rock. Why would Jesus speak so harshly to Peter? Why is he saying these things about him? Well, because the way Jesus, as divine Son of God, has come in the world to save the world is precisely through suffering. It's through the redemptive suffering of his cross. And to the extent that Peter opposes the idea of Jesus suffering and dying, he opposes the salvation of the world. He opposes the way that God has chosen to redeem the world, to set it free from sin and death. And of course, then, in a sense, he's also opposing the resurrection, because that is going to be the ultimate consequence of Jesus' passion and his death. So this conflict between him and Peter, in a sense, opens up for Jesus the opportunity to talk about true discipleship. Many would tend to think, well, Jesus rebuked Peter because he did not understand the cross. But there's more. Jesus takes the opportunity to lay out the conditions for being a disciple. He says, "If any man would come after me, let them do two things. He has to deny himself, and he has to take up the cross and follow me." What does that mean? Jesus' closest followers were called disciples, or students, mathetes in the Greek. So if you're a student, you follow the master. You don't just believe what the Master says, you imitate him, you live like him, you walk with him, you act with him, you act like him. So Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you have to do two things. You have to accept suffering, and you have to imitate me. What's the image that he uses for that? A very striking one. He says, you have to deny yourself and take up the cross. Now again, in contemporary Christianity, in this world, we will use the metaphor of taking up your cross as an example for accepting the sufferings of our daily life. And that's a good application of that image. But in a first century Jewish setting, that metaphorical meaning hadn't happened yet. If you told someone you have to take up your cross, the cross was a form of execution and nothing more. It was simply the most brutal, the most heinous, the most shameful way to die at the hands of the Roman Empire in the first century. So when Jesus says to Peter and his disciples, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross, he's calling them to nothing less than suffering and death. It would be like today to take some other method of execution and say, you have to take up your electric chair and follow me. That would be shocking and a grisly image for being a follower. And yet that's how Jesus described discipleship. He is pulling no punches here about what's involved in being a disciple. You have to accept suffering. And notice that it's not just that you suffer, but he says, take up the cross. In other words, pick it up, carry it, walk behind me, imitate me, follow me. Why? Well, because where is Jesus going? He's going to Jerusalem to die, and his disciples need to follow him. He's going to walk the way of the cross all the way to Calvary, and then through Calvary to the resurrection. So those are the conditions of discipleship, accepting suffering and imitating Christ. Another point that Jesus makes in our gospel is the cost of discipleship. What does it profit someone if he gains the whole world, but he forfeits his life? In other words, is there any money, is there any gold in the world that is precious enough to buy even a single human soul? And the answer is no. So the cost of discipleship is Jesus' final message here. My friends, these are hard words. They are difficult to listen to and accept. One might say that the cross is a scandal. It's one of those aspects of Christianity that is not very attractive. Contrast that with the gospel that is preached on many cable channels today. I remember when I was stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia. On the local TV channels, a TV evangelist had a show where the health and wealth gospel was being preached. As the evangelist did his inevitable pitch for money, they asked that you call into the show and make your donation. The phone number was, and this is true, 546-LUCK, L-U-C-K, 546-L-U-C-K. The message was, believe in Jesus, and you're going to be blessed with money, riches, health, and wealth. But what does Jesus say? You be my disciple and you're going to be blessed with a cross. Each of us has our own crosses in our lives that often seem impossible to bear. How can Jesus ask us to accept them? Perhaps the wisdom of two saints from our church may help. St. Augustine wrote of the cross and love and said, our Lord's commands seem hard and heavy, that anyone who wants to follow him must renounce himself. But no command is hard and heavy when it comes from one who helps you carry it out. That other saying of his is true, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Whatever is hard in his commands is made easy by love, unquote. What St. Augustine is saying here is that although the command seems hard, when it is animated by love, it actually becomes easy because the grace of Christ enables us to willingly choose the cross for love of God and for love of neighbor. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, in one of his meditations entitled The Way of the Cross, pointed this out. He said that one of the keys to being a Christian disciple is not just to accept suffering or to take up the cross, but to do it willingly and do it with joy and do it with love. These are powerful words. Saint Jose Maria wrote, "If anyone would follow me, little friend, we are sad, living the passion of our Lord Jesus. See how lovingly he embraces the cross. Learn from him. Jesus carries the cross for you. You carry it for Jesus. But don't drag the cross. Carry it squarely on your shoulders, because your cross, if you carry it so, will not just be any cross, it will be a holy cross. Don't carry your cross with resignation. Resignation is not a generous word. Love the cross. When you really love it, your cross will be a cross without a cross. And surely you will find Mary on the way, just as Jesus did." Unquote. So what Saint Jose Maria Escrivá is basically saying, that there's only one way we can find joy in the paradox of carrying the crosses of our lives, is not to carry them with resignation, like to drag the cross, but to learn to love the cross. And through loving the cross, we will transform all the sufferings of this life into love. And that will transform then to them into a cross without a cross. May God help us to do so.